Hey there, Noise Cancelling fans, Matt here. Just wanted to come on and give you a quick heads up that some of Cherie's podcast at the start of the audio here is a little bit distorted, but it does get better. So please don't be put off by it too much. And just a quick reminder to subscribe to the Noise Cancelling podcast on whatever you're listening on and give us a good rating as well. We really do appreciate it. But now, on with the episode.
Have you heard in the future that iPhones may not have any ports at all? There'll be no holes in them anyway. How are they going to make noise? That sounds crazy. They'll be noise cancelled by themselves. That's relevant to this podcast because it's called the Noise Cancelling Podcast, where we talk about tech, which is what an iPhone is, and it's a podcast together. I'm Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar, and I am joined by...
Sheree L. Smith, Editor-in-Chief, Laptop Mag.
James Peckham, Phones Editor for Tech Radar.
And Matt Phillips, Tech Radar's Video Producer.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't realise what I was going to say at the start of this, and I just jumped down the running order.
I didn't realise either. I enjoyed it, though.
Yeah, I was going to sing, and I thought my brain started to rap, and I was like, halt that. Right, big question this week. On the running order, it says, Gareth accidentally bought a PS5. How? Well, let's start with that. Story for you all. So as you can probably tell, if you're anyone in the world right now of tech, buying one of these new consoles is bloody hard. You have to be up very early or very late, or you have to pay a lot of money to a scalper, or it's just a very tricky situation. One of the things TechRadar loves to do is tell you how to do it. One of the main ways we do that is we're constantly checking links, pushing through, trying to see what's actually working. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, when I was up just looking to see if a recent slew of stock had come online, I was testing it because there was this weird trick, as you probably see on the bottom of many news articles, that says if you sign up for an account with this retailer in the UK and then you click save for later and then go through that and buy it in your basket, it will work. And I was thinking, well, this was from somebody on Twitter. Bullshit, is it gonna? admittedly, I got to the point where it said make payment. And in my very sleep-addled brain, I thought, I'll still have one more step to take with that, won't I? Yeah. And turns out you don't, because make payment makes a payment. And so it worked, though. So that was good. And it was a very good test to show that TechRadar really is trying to do this. But I think I'm the only person in the world who bought a PlayStation they didn't necessarily want. But it is going to go to a person who did really want it now.
So there we go.
All is well. And they are paying me for it.
Just have you got any tips for anyone that's still trying to buy one? Is you accidentally buying one going to help anyone in any way? Or
yes, what you need to do is go onto Twitter and just follow random people's advice, right. Or just shut your eyes and smash your head on the keyboard and it might buy one as well.
Great bag of advice.
Those are the two options that you've got. Yeah. That leads me to the big question this week, which is, what's the one piece of tech that you have bought that you wish you hadn't? James Peckham, you look like a man who's affluent and buys lots of tech.
I'm going to go with a phone, surprisingly. I'm going to go with the Sony Xperia Z1 because I bought that in September 2013 and then I became a phones journalist in November 2013. So I probably used that phone for all of about 6 weeks and then I started reviewing phones myself and started hot swapping between different devices. There was just no reason to own that phone anymore, in my opinion. I don't own a phone at the moment because I switch between devices that I'm reviewing. I know that sounds a little bit woe is me, but that's been my life for the last 6 years or so.
But you do own a phone. You own the Sony Xperia Z1.
I do. I still own the Sony Xperia Z1 somewhere.
So if you run out of phones, it's still there in the background. So actually, it's a great
backup.
It is
still there. I don't know how that's going to work anymore. I don't know if it's definitely out of software upgrades, but we'll see how that works. But yeah, that was a big regret that I bought that phone and about 6 weeks later, my contract was basically null and void.
You should have told me when you got the job. I would have give it to someone else. It's fine.
It wasn't a job here, actually. It was a different job, but yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah, your previous role. Yeah. The one that was horrible and then you got saved at TechRadar. Sheree, talking of someone who buys tech.
A piece of tech that I've regretted buying. Oh, God.
It is quite a hard one this week.
This is two people who've not thought about it yet.
I think it's because it's not like a creative thing. It's not like, hey, come up with a crazy idea and pitch it. It's like, actually use your memory, which I struggle with on the regular occurrence.
I mean, Sheree is well noted for saying she never preps for these. She's a winger.
Yeah, I am going to wing this. And I think, oh, crap.
TV 6.
So it was a miss. Like when cell phones first started becoming a thing, kind of, I bought this Mitsubishi phone.
Whoa.
And wow. I thought, yeah, exactly. I thought you couldn't tell me anything. Especially since I was coming off of a beeper. And I loved it at first because it was blue and I just like, hey, and then, but then the first bill came and I was in college and I wasn't working like that. So like it quickly got shut off and like neither of my parents would float me the money to keep it on. So it just became a constant reminder of, oh, all right, you was hot for a hot second. And then real life came in. Like it was my first real taste of adulting. And that's why I hate it.
then look at the road it set you on. You're like, I need more of this in my life. I've got to find a way. And now look at you, 12 yes. TVs rich.
Stop it.
Matt Phillips, have you used your memory yet?
Yeah, I'm going way back, way, way back to when I was like probably 12 or 13 maybe. And one of the first phones I had was a Sony Ericsson.
How way back is that? Just to be clear. I feel like that's like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, pretty much. No, like 12 years ago. So one of the first phones I had was a Sony Ericsson, like a swivel phone. I can't remember the model numbers, the names, but a swivel phone. And it had like detachable face plates as well. It was an awesome phone, but I have ADHD and I fidget with stuff all the time. So Ooh. Anything that moves is just dangerous and like snappy things. And so it was just broken within like 3 weeks.
Was it definitely a Sony Ericsson?
Maybe not. I'm pretty sure it was. I'm going to Google it now, see if I can find it.
It wasn't the Motorola?
No, I don't think I ever had a Motorola phone.
Sounds like a fidget spinner phone.
Yeah, or just a fidget spinner that just breaks.
Yeah, Sony Ericsson. Oh, this is great podcast material now.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah.
What do you call Google them? Swing. Swivel phones? How do you spell swivel?
S-W-I-V-E-L.
Like, yeah, like are you serious? Like,
Swivel Knievel.
Is that what industry experts would call it? Swivel phone?
Yeah, I
guess so,
that.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't Sony Ericsson.
Spinny screen.
Oh, there it is. I found it. Sony Ericsson W550i. That is the exact one I had.
Now I have to look at this thing.
Everybody look it up.
Everyone's
it's beautiful.
Googling.
Everyone at home, please Google this too.
Oh,
and that,
yes.
That orange faceplate used to snap off and it came with a white one as well. And so I was just constantly switching those and the little things that would hold them in place snap. Oh, it was great.
Yeah, we've got one of those in the office.
Maybe I should go back to it. I'll do a video where I go back to it for a week and see if
yes,
I can survive.
Definitely do that. You will not be able to survive a day, I promise.
So I think that's good, Matt. And I think cell phones, mobile phones are clearly the objet du jour today. But I'm going to go with, I'm going to flip the question that I asked completely. And it's a piece of tech I don't regret buying. I'm just sad about it. In fact, there's two. I had the Arcos 504, which was basically a smartphone without any phone bits on it. It was a big screen. You could sideload video onto it and watch video on the go. You could record your soap operas off your TV, take them on the bus the next day. The idea, this was like 14 years ago, where the idea of having video on the go was a bit crazy. And so what I decided, you know, I thought that was brilliant. I used it all the time and I loved it. And it was, what, a 5.4-inch screen at best, maybe? Then I upgraded and I spent £500 on the Arcos 7, which was a 7-inch display, touchscreen. Oh, it was so good. Like, this was just, you know, this was precursing tablets. It was amazing. I had all these movies and, you know, I'd found them properly. And there was this, I was about to say like they were ripped, but then, you know, there's a whole question there. But then I bought that and it was, again, same as Pexi, like not too far off the advent of the smartphone and being able to put video on that. And I became a phone reviewer as well. So I started doing it that way. Instead, it sat in the drawer, just not being used, but it was a better experience. I just couldn't bring myself to have two different devices doing essentially the same job, but I still loved it and I still miss it. And it was way ahead of its time. I feel bad for Arcos, but it was definitely really good.
I do not remember these things at all. What year did they come out?
Whew, so this was like my first-ish job. So it would have been 14, 15 years ago, 14 years ago probably. So whatever year it is now, 2005, 2006 Arcos was like this big thing. And I loved them with all my heart and I still think they're brilliant. It's just they've been completely usurped by smartphones.
Yeah.
It looks like Arcos is still around. I've not seen anything from them for, obviously they're not a major phone or tablet player anymore, but there was a little while, even like 2012 sort of time, that they were making some solid Android tablets.
Yeah, tablet-wise, they were really good. And they were a company that always had good heritage in good construction and stuff like that. But and the thing that also the Arcos 7 did, well, I'm getting nostalgic, was it had capabilities of DRM music. So if you had like a Napster subscription when Napster became legit, you could copy across all this music onto it, and it would DRM, and you could only play it on the tablet, and it would expire after about a minute, annoyingly. And it was really, really, really hard to do. But again, this idea, you know, is the precursor to Spotify and the precursor to Netflix in many ways as well, with all the video you could take on the go. So it really was one of those ones that started things off. But yeah, it's just in the annals of time, it's gone now. Right, who am I going to award the points to? It's a tricky one. Not Pexy, because woe is him. I'm going to go with Matt Phillips because he the most... Wait, no, hang on. No, you loved your phone too much. Cherie, you had the biggest regret because you made it into being hot for a second, like you said, hot for a hot second, and then it created a beautiful monster in the shape of an editor-in-chief laptop bag. So well done, you.
That feels worse than just losing normally. Being given the win and then it just snatched away. That was painful.
Yeah, well, life in it.
cold-blooded.
Right, I'm going to start off with things that happened this week. Bum, 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 bum. New jingle. Golden Joysticks, one of the Future Publishing, which is our publishing house of choice, as in the one that owns us, has got Games Radar in its stables. And the Golden Joysticks, which are very much the industry's go-to for what's big and hot in gaming each year, they happened last night. Matt Phillips, you worked closely on this launch. I know that others on this podcast have followed it cleanly. What are your thoughts? What are your main takeaways from this glitzy event that happened virtually, but still glitzy?
Well, it was a glitzy virtual event. All the 3D sort of staging stuff they did, I thought was really impressive. But yeah, you know, their user voted for awards. So this is the 38th Golden Joysticks has happened. Very impressive to be going that long. And yeah, they're all user voted awards, I think, except for the Critics' Choice, which would make sense, wouldn't it? And Last of Us cleaned up, as you would expect. I think it won 5 or 6 awards maybe, and one Ultimate Game of the Year as well. And you know, gamers be gamers, there was a lot of discussion, let's say debate, in the chat.
It won 5 awards. It won Best Storytelling, Best Audio, Best Visual Design, PlayStation Game of the Year, and Ultimate Game of the Year. And Naughty Dog also won Studio of the Year.
There you go. And yeah, well deserved. I think it's a bit of a shame that, you know, it won all in all those categories. And, you know, they, like I say, they use a 4-voted award, so I guess it makes sense. But Ghost of Tsushima got completely shut out, didn't win any awards. And that's probably my personal game of the year. And I think visual design, for example, I'd find it hard to give that to Naughty Dog over Ghost of Tsushima in that category.
Yeah, I definitely think that Best Audio would have gone to Ghost of Tsushima as well.
Yeah, but you know, The Last of Us just has had so much discussion around it this year. I think... you know, if you're going on there to vote for Last of Us for Ultimate Game of the Year, you're probably just going to go through every category and vote for every time you see Last of Us, right? So I guess it kind of makes sense. But I very much enjoyed the awards themselves. Thought it was fantastic. Very well produced, because I had a little bit of input myself.
So for the non-gamer who's listening to this, what were the main takeaways that we've learned from the awards this year? What's the biggest trend that's changed? What is, you know, have different kinds of games come to the fore? What's the feeling?
I think, you know, a couple of the awards are really interesting to me. You know, they had an award for the game that we're still playing. And there was another one as well that I can't remember. But basically, awards that allowed them to recognize games that didn't necessarily come out this year, but have been massively impactful this year, right? And I think
Angry Birds.
With the advent of... exactly. But with the advent of stuff like Fortnite and Minecraft and these games that are... you know, Minecraft at this point is almost a decade old and people are still playing it. It won the award for still playing and has this incredibly engrossed community. You know, I think nowadays it's not fair to host an award show and just give awards to games that, or anything that just came out this year, when these media live for so long and improve upon constantly. So yeah, I like that this awards sort of recognizes that.
I think it's a really good point. You know, I think we've all hosted and run different awards in the past, and I find that cutoff point is a really difficult thing. I mean, it would be weird if like the Oscars had like films we're still watching. That would probably be a bit strange. But
yeah,
you know, for phones, there's definitely because the phones are sold again year after year, and you know, you can still buy, you know, old iPhones that are still badged as new. And they are good value because they're cheaper. Maybe some of the older ones, not so much. But you definitely have this thing after 12 months where, well, I feel like we should award last year's Samsung because it's come so far down in price. It's way better than the one that we might award. And it's a really difficult thing to know what deserves an award rather than just like what's the hottest, newest sexiest thing, because that's not always the best one. Cherie, what you have to handle the problem of awards with laptops quite a lot, don't you?
Yeah, end of year awards are a little easier, and like laptop is a little easier. Like, you've got design, you've got innovation, so those are, you can look at it like, okay, that looks the best, and okay, that's the most innovative. I think it gets a little tricky for me when we start doing best and worst brands, and we have to do that 12 month cutoff, and then every vendor is trying to squeeze in a last minute entry, because the whole point of the whole thing is that it has to be reviewed in the 12 month period. So then everyone's trying to rush in their heavy hitters, and it's ridiculous.
I think you're right, Matt, as well, in terms of from the gaming point of view, the best gaming community award here is possibly the most interesting trend in moving to those areas where, like, again, there's so many people playing Destiny 2 still, and when did that come out? 4 years ago? Like,
yeah, exactly.
That those sort of games do need somewhere to sit, and it doesn't really feel like anyone's really covering that as much right now.
I still can't believe Beyonce's still in it.
And I think that like with the advent of like Game Pass and you know, whatever PlayStation decide to do in that sort of same realm, it allows people to discover games that weren't popular before, right? Like, Among Us has become one of the biggest games this year because people have started streaming it. And it's because it was just found somewhere on Steam and some big streamer started playing it and it became this massive sensation.
So is that why it didn't win Mobile Game of the Year, Among Us? Is it too were the awards?
I think so, yeah. I think it came out like 2-3 years ago. So yeah, it doesn't qualify, I guess, for that award, right? I think it was in the still playing category, I believe. Or best community, one or the other. It got nominated for sure for something, so it's nice to give it that little nod. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it's nice to see Game Awards now sort of pushing this idea that games don't just exist in the year they came out, and we can recognize them beyond that.
Talking of things that don't exist in the year they came out, the iPhone 13 hasn't been announced yet. But we do think that the iPhone 13, I'll be honest, I don't think this one, but future iPhone will be portless. I made very good reference to it in my opening gambit, as you probably all remember. The idea being that the iPhone 13 will just be shorn of ports, because that's much easier and much more safe, and there's fewer things to go wrong with it. That'll mean that wireless charging is used instead of a lightning connector. You won't be able to plug anything into it ever. I still can't see this happening. The outcry would be huge if one of the iPhones did that. But I do think portless phones are going to come probably in the next year from maybe some Chinese manufacturers, and in maybe 2-3 years time Apple could follow the trend, because it is beneficial to manufacturers to get rid of the ports, but for consumers, I mean, they struggle with a headphone port. I don't know if anyone can hear as well, my cat is absolutely all over my microphone right now and purring like a little mother flubber.
Everyone can hear her.
Yeah, it's become the fifth member of this podcast, everybody knows by now.
Daisy, what do you think about the iPhone 13? Nothing?
Brilliant.
Ooh.
Yeah,
it's not a visual podcast.
I thought she usually meows if I give her a bit of a cuddle, but she didn't do anything now. So
the interesting thing will be to see, right, is, oh, there we go, there she is.
You're talking over her, Matt.
I know. The interesting thing to see will be if they go portless now next generation, do they have to include MagSafe chargers in the boxes? Have they got a return to
they
that?
They won't do that.
Well, I wouldn't have thought they would do that either, but I think they're pushing MagSafe in this quite big way, right? And it's really exciting, interesting tech. And so if they did do that, maybe people would be okay with it, right? Maybe people would be less angry at it.
Really, really exciting news from Gareth. A waveform of a cat purring looks very different to a waveform of a man speaking, according to my software right here.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's big news. It's all very jaggedy for a cat purring, and it's all very straight for a person chatting. Yeah, I agree with you, Matt. Like, there still has to be some kind of way of charging it. You can't just do it with nothing, especially if there's going to be only wireless, which makes me think this isn't going to happen with the iPhone 13. It's not going to happen anytime soon.
If you buy an iPhone 12 right now, there isn't a way to charge it immediately. If you've never owned an iPhone before, you have to go buy that iPhone charging block because it's lightning connector. So you have to have something in your house for that. So I don't think that's really going to stop them doing anything.
Well, there's a charging lead in there. At least you can connect to it.
There's a charging lead in there, but it only connects to certain charging blocks. So what I'm saying is you always have to go spend money on something extra if you've never owned a phone before. So I don't think that would really stop them, to be honest. But Yeah.
But you'd have to have a way of transferring data as well. That's a key part of it. So that wireless would also have to function as a... I mean, maybe it's built into MagSafe already. Who knows? But basically, I do think it's going to be the future of phones. I just don't think it's going to be anytime soon. Let's talk back to PlayStation 5. Sony has said that absolutely everything is sold out as supply has slowed to a trickle. The supply slowing to a trickle was added by Adam Bajestica, an alumni of this podcast. But yeah, Sony has said absolutely everything is sold out, which is kind of true and kind of not. What it really means is they've sold all of their stock to retailers who have it in warehouses in various forms, either zilch or some at the moment. So, and we've also heard from Sony just today that they are working really hard to bring more out by the end of the year. Questions about whether this is a purposeful management or not aside, that's good to know, right? If anyone's looking for a PS5, it's what he's demanding, by the way. This is good news, yeah?
I mean, it would be good news if I have faith in the retailers making sure that scalpers aren't going to get them. I read a report, I can't even remember where it was from.
Tech Radar.
It was not from Tech Radar. It was from an RSS feed, and I was bleary eyed because it was 4 a.m. But like this scalper group basically found a way to bypass all the limitations. Like, oh well, one per household. Like just totally bypass that and managed to buy 3,500 PS5s. And they are scalping them back to folks at ridiculous prices. So I want to be optimistic. It's in my nature to be optimistic. But until these big, I can't tell you how frustrating it was to go to Best Buy or go to a Target or wherever and go put the PlayStation or the Xbox in my cart. Go through the motions, think I'm about to pay. It's like, oh, there's nothing in your cart. Start back at square one. Like it's so frustrating and disheartening. So until they figure that out, I can't get excited about this.
Okay, well then let's not. So as we know, today is Black Friday. If you listen to this into your ears, it means that we are incredibly tired because we have been writing about deals and such for a long, long time. But we likely to have seen and will continue to see some stocks of PlayStation 5, largely because it will push loads and loads of people to these retailers' websites and they'll get to see all the other sparkling deals that exist there as well. So it's a very strong marketing push as well as anything else. So I'm fully expecting that you will have read on Tech Radar or Laptop Mag all about where you can buy a PS5 right now. So fingers crossed if you found one, well done you. If you didn't, keep trying. I'm sure it will happen for you. But next week's podcast is going to be all about our post Black Friday fallout, rundown, decompression, one of the three.
Let's see, it'll be gibberish. It'll be complete nonsense.
Let's see if it's as bad.
I think I'm going to try to memorize the Jabberwocky just for that show, because that's how burnt out we're going to be.
What, so you're going to really tax your brain?
You might as well poem for a nonsense for after you've gone through the gamut of Black Friday and Cyber Monday. You might as well,
I mean, just like it's a visual podcast. It's not a visual podcast, so you can just read it. No one know. Yeah,
I'll know.
Beware the Jabberwocky. So yeah, as we said, Black Friday is happening right now, and what is likely happening is there are many, 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 many deals everywhere for you. And I know that it sounds very self-propagating. Is that the word? I don't know.
Self-serving.
Self-serving, that's the one. Yeah, self-promotional, either way. But when we do these lists of deals, it's very much looking for those great things, whether it is the AirPods that are down to an amazing price, and you know, they're record prices already this year, which is great. Nintendo Switch is where to find them. You know, we work really hard on finding stuff that goes in and out of stock, because especially in the UK, we do see lots of reports like 9 out of 10 Black Friday deals aren't real. A lot of them are stuff that's been artificially raised and then dropped back down again. So it is really difficult to find out if you're a consumer what's big. Cherie, was it last year that you bought an LG TV, or was that during Amazon Prime Day?
That was 2 years ago years ago.
Last year it just disappeared.
No, it couldn't have been because I was in the war room with y'all. Look, and like, and I was like, should I pull the trigger? Yeah, no, it was last year. You know, 2020, the darkest timeline, time just jumbles and you just don't know where you are. But yeah, that was last year, and it was my favorite Black Friday purchase thus far. This Black Friday, I am doing a lot of, I'm looking to get a whole bunch of wire management stuff.
Whoa, and a bunch, big news.
It's the exciting stuff.
And a bunch of kitchen stuff. So I'm looking for an immersion blender, that IQ pressure cooker that I've heard so much about, and maybe an Anova sous vide immersion cooker.
Nice.
And maybe a food processor.
Well, Gareth, are you ready to be very jealous?
You didn't buy a TV, did you?
I went and bought the LG CX TV this morning.
Yeah!
Let me see the swear word.
Because on Currys, they are doing a thing where...
if one in 20 people will win a half price one.
Well, one in 20 people get their cash back, which is insane. Wow. And I'm assuming I haven't won that.
That's dope.
One in 20 people gets half their cash back, as Gareth knows, because he studies these things heavily.
Oh, is it half? Is it? Sorry. Okay, sorry. I thought it was the full thing. But also they're doing a thing where they're price matching everybody. And they're price matching for 7 days after your purchase. So if it does come down again on Black Friday or Cyber Monday, I'm sorted. So I thought, get ahead of the stock shortages. Bang, I'm going to get it tomorrow. It's arriving tomorrow.
Which size did you go for? 55 or 65?
65.
Oh.
Went big.
Oh, that's sexy. Like I'm not going to lie. I was looking at some of the TV deals. Like, do I need another TV? Do I need it right now? No, you don't need a TV. But but part of me is like, but you want it. I'm like, I do.
You've got a problem, Cherie. You have a problem.
I know.
We definitely need to convert this to a video podcast because that has actually visibly upset Gareth.
I know.
You can just be happy for me if you want.
I am happy for you. I'm not. I can't even pretend. I'm not happy for you. I'm really petulant and childish. It's because this year it's right there ready to go, and this is the year when I've become a lot more family man and trying to be a lot more responsible and like doing bills better and all these kind of things, and I've been really good with my budget, and I thought the first thing I can't do is just kick it to pieces with a big TV I don't need. I've got a TV that works. It's fine. And it's so upsetting. And it also, like, everyone's saying to me, I just buy it. It's fine. It's like, no, I'm trying to be responsible.
This is what happens in the apocalypse. It's like, yeah, we might not survive anyway. You might as well just buy it. But yeah, no, I too was tempted by a fruit of another. Like, I was definitely like, this 55 inch is good, but 65.
Yeah, 65 is the number.
Yeah, because I wasn't sold on it like even a week ago, right? But I hooked up my PS5.
Oh, that's even worse. Like, you're not even done putting the hard yards in for the years.
I knew I was waiting for Black Friday before buying a TV. I just didn't know which TV I was going for. And then I plugged my PS5 into my computer monitors and started playing at 60 frames and realized that there's no going back now, ever. So I need to go, you know, you just need to go for the biggest and best one you can find, you know?
Yeah.
Cherie is all sorts of agreements.
Yes.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, there's £500 difference between the two TV sizes. And
it is significant.
Yeah, I know. But it's also significantly bigger as well. And it would dominate.
Because if I do that 65 inch, like, it's only a matter of time before I go 75. And like, then we've hit an ugly slope. And it's like, ooh.
The 75 cracks the, I think it's 77, isn't it? Or 75, whatever it is. It cracks the £2,000 barrier that I just couldn't.
Yes, it does.
It smashes past it. It flies
it's
past
like
that barrier.
2-2, isn't it? 2,200 or 2,300?
Something like that. Yeah. I was just like...
As you said that, I'm like, what, it's only another £500 more? What? I'm not going to buy it anyway, so...
Anyway, I'm not even sure we're podcasting anymore if we're just shaming Gareth into buying an OLED TV on the podcast.
Yeah, whatever. The Galaxy S21 or the Z Fold 3. This is actually fairly big news.
Yeah.
Genuinely is. Yeah. So there's a big rumor that the Galaxy Note will be dead, because the Galaxy Note is fully essentially made by the S Pen. That's what the Galaxy Note's all about.
That sounds so sad.
I'm just, yeah.
I'm watching my waveform.
Your impulse. It's your impulse, Sintergear.
Press buy.
I didn't realize I would bring down the energy of the podcast so much. I'm so sorry.
You want a TV, Gear? You want that OLED?
I do.
It's me, Gear. Your impulse.
Well, do you think by this time next week you'll actually? Is that the plan, to bite the bullet over Black Friday?
I tell you what, if we got paid before Black Friday, I think I'd probably, in a sleep-addled moment, go like, I've worked too hard, I deserve this. And then just, and then wake up the next day and have such remorse for not sleeping and also for doing that.
Yeah, you'd have remorse, but then it would show up and you'd be like, yeah.
Then it would show up and I'd be like, I don't need this much TV. I've made a really big mistake, but I really want it.
I am slightly concerned about that.
Yeah. Right, anyway, we do have to talk about the fact that the Galaxy Note could be dead.
Yeah.
The Galaxy Note is a big phone, literally, and has been going for many years, and it said it is supported by the S Pen, which is that stylus that pops out the side, and Samsung says it's not a stylus, but it blatantly
is. It's a stylus,
let's be honest. And the reports are all saying that Samsung is going to fuse the two lines together, so the Samsung Galaxy S range will come with a stylus, and the Fold range will be there to take over this higher-powered, top-tier, you want the best of Samsung, here it is. So basically, the Note is going to become Fold. is essentially what the rule is, but I don't think we're going to see, according to the rumors, the name Note as much anymore. It's very confusing. Pexi, unpick it for us.
Yeah, so there's rumors that it could be happening this year, and that means there won't be a Note 21. Some other sources are saying that a Note 21 is still on the cards, but at the moment most people are suggesting that there won't be a Note phone at all, and instead we're going to be seeing the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 in around June sort of time, and then that'll be replacing the Note, and that'd be the phone to go for if you want a top end, if you want to be spending as much money as you possibly can on a phone to get the biggest possible screen and an S Pen. They want you to go for a foldable instead of that, is the general thinking at the moment. I feel like the Note series has kind of lost its way a little bit in the last few years. It doesn't really feel like there's all been that much place for it, especially this year with the Galaxy Note 20 being such a strange middle phone when the Note 20 Ultra was so much better. And then it was also the year where you had an S20 Ultra as well, which was another big screen phone, but you didn't get the S Pen. So it does feel like it's been a sort of a forgotten child for at least a year, maybe even a little bit longer there as well, as Samsung has been focusing a bit more on its Fold series and general stuff like that. So it sort of feels like it may end up happening. We don't know for certain yet, and obviously we're not going to know. We're probably not going to know even when we get to the Galaxy S21 in January. So yeah, it's going to be a continuing story really, but it does look likely if you like the Note series, you're going to be having to swap to a Z Fold instead in the nearish future, but it could end up being in a year's time.
I think the Note series has had a good run. I still have never really understood its super place beyond the fact that it's this really great top end does everything phone, but like you said, the Ultra exists. I've never been fully sold on the S Pen. I know, Cherie, you're a fan, but
I live by that pen.
When was the last time you unsheathed it?
Yesterday. I used Galaxy Notes. Like, I jot things down all the time, and especially since when they started doing handwriting the text feature. Oh yeah, no, I used that thing. I love that S Pen. They totally made that phone for me as a journalist, as someone who loves like actually writing out notes. I will be very unhappy if they were to discontinue the Note. Now, the idea of there being a foldable Note, I think we're a couple of iterations away from me being willing to jump on that bandwagon.
Mm. But so, Cherie, do you have the Note 20 Ultra?
I'm going to be buying that with at the end of the year.
Right. So what have you got currently?
The Note 8.
Right. So your plan is to buy the Note 20 Ultra and then carry that through a couple of generations of whatever this turns out to be anyway, right?
We'll see.
Like, you could be tempted away by a Fold 3 if it was good enough.
Like, we'll see. Like, unlike Gareth, who is very good about denying his impulse buy center, I am not. So if that phone does turn out to be the new hotness, I might do it.
You're making the right choice there by going for the Ultra as well this year. With the Note 20 was such a strange middle ground of a phone.
I was just going for the regular Note 20. No way in hell.
The Ultra is just so much better, and that's the only one that is worth buying, basically.
I know you're not, Pexy, but you look like you're reading that off a script to what you're saying.
Yeah, I am. I've written down my entire conversation for this podcast.
Cool. Well, very prescient of you. So what's happening next, Pexy?
It's the news blast.
Oh, shit. Oh, you've got a running order in front of you, so that's going to tell you what's happening.
I was going to say, we basically do have a script, just not like
that. Well, there is the news blast coming up now. Matt Hansen /Swider.
I'm
all these people that aren't the right Matt. Sorry, Matt Phillips, the wonderful video producer, is going to take it on. How many times have you done this? Just once, Matt?
Yes, I've only tried it the once. Yeah, but have you seen how many I've dropped in there? I'm going for it, guys.
You're going to do about 14, I reckon.
I'm going for the 14. I'm going for the big one. You know what? I've done it twice before, I think. Have I?
Okay.
Because the first time you lot had a go at me for reading off a script, which, yeah, all right, cheating. Fine. Fine. And then the second time, I don't think I did very well. I think I only got like 5. So,
okay, well, then
we'll see how we go.
Big claim then. Big claim. Right. Okay. Are you ready then, Matt? You've got 1 minute. Oh, sorry. I should tell the listeners what's actually going on here. So, the news blast, if you're fresh to the podcast, do subscribe, please, 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 is 60 seconds where a guest or the presenter, one of the two, this week it's Matt Phillips, has got 60 seconds to read out as many news stories as possible in the shortest amount of time, while giving you the flavor of what's happening so you feel like you've understood what's happened in this week's news without having to listen for more than a minute. So, the more stories that he can get into your ears, the more fulfilled you'll be by this podcast. The record is a hotly disputed 13 from Gerald, and Matt says he can go one better than that with the 14. So, Matt, are you ready? Remember the rules. You cannot read out from a script, which you already know, and you have to give a flavour of the story so that the listener can know exactly what is all about. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, go!
Epic Games, who make Fortnite, have bought House Party, so now you can video chat within Fortnite. Very clever indeed. WandaVision, which is the new MCU TV show of Disney Plus, is coming now in January 15th, 2021, because nothing nice can ever happen in 2020. iOS 14.2.1 has arrived. There's no new features. It's mainly just bug fixes. Google Stadia have announced that there are 400 games in the pipeline for Stadia, trying to prove that system isn't dead, but it absolutely is. Cyberpunk 2077 developer has tweeted out his game clock of the game he's played 175 hours and still hasn't finished the game. That's terrifying. iOS 15 will come next year, but won't be available on the older iPhone 6S series of phones or the old iPhone SE. Is that surprising to anybody? I don't think so. I was surprised iOS 14 came to those devices. New iPad Pro 2021 looks set to copy iPhone 12's best new feature, which is its OLED screen. Exciting stuff. PS5 scalpers. Oh, we talked about that already. That doesn't count. Fortnite is adding a $12 a month subscription fee. It's like a super battle pass. I think I did pretty well then. I don't know how many I got.
8.
I'll take it.
That is pretty good. That's definitely higher echelons of the league table.
The fact that we went off script and talked about the PS5 scalpers earlier in the show threw me off, and I'm upset about it. But it's okay.
Just some feedback of somebody who some people say are the people's champion of this. The iOS 15 story, the iOS 14 story. So it was iOS 15. You said you went on too long about what's happened there. You know that you were surprised at what's happened before. Don't give opinion. The news blast is no place for opinion.
All right.
Unless you're Matt Hansen, who gave a very lovely story about 4 different things. And I really enjoyed hearing his sort of 15-second elucidations on the tech of the week. I feel like we should give him a fireside chat.
I need you to do it again, Gareth, so I can learn from the master.
Yeah, well, that's many people say that. You know, I got stopped in the street many times to be like, when are you coming back on again? We want to hear you truly defeat Gerald because it's not fair. And I'm like, one day. Right, okay, we're nearly running out of time, so it's time for the very last thing, which is, Cherie, what?
Unpopular opinions, let your hate unfurl. Smartphone, consoles, tablets. I don't know what the topic is because I didn't read the running order.
Beautiful.
I mean, Cherie's preparation each week is getting less and less. didn't turn up for the production meeting yesterday. Doesn't know what the question's going to be.
I was interviewing for my UK team. You hush.
It's a busy time.
You're right. So this week I'm taking an unpopular opinion, and it's been alluded to in the news blast just then. As Matt said, the iOS 15 doesn't look like it's coming to a bunch of older phones from Apple. Now, a lot of people have praised Apple for continuing to support these older devices, so that if you've got an iPhone from many, many years ago, it will still be getting the latest upgrades, etc. And I fully support that as well. But there are some devices out there, like Matt said, the iPhone SE, the iPhone 6. You know, Android phones are too short in terms of their upgrade lifespan. So if you've got a phone on Android, you know, 10, for instance, chances are it's only got maybe 2 more years of updates at best. And then it's going to start being vulnerable to security hacks or just stop working as well. It won't have the latest features. You'll probably be a bit sad about it. Apple, on the other end, goes to the other end of the spectrum, where it says, right, you're going to keep having all these, well, a number of the top-end features, some are limited, and it's going to keep your phone fancy and new and, importantly, secure, and that is fair. But I feel like we're losing out a bit. You know, if Apple did fewer phones to be supported in terms of its upgrades, then the people with the new fancier phones can maybe have more. There could be more space to put in new things. There could be more capability because you haven't got to support all these older APIs, that maybe there's another step to be had. Maybe this is what's holding it back. As I'm saying it, I don't fully believe it because I don't think Apple is ever not doing something for the sake of it. It's very much a calculated process, but who knows what that could be? You know, if the, you know, the benefit of the Android phones always being the shiniest and latest and the greatest is that you get the shiniest and latest and the greatest. And while I'm completely still stand by the point that that's too short for some Android phones, I think Apple could maybe go halfway. You know, if it's supporting phones from what, 6 years ago now, maybe do 5, maybe do 4. You know, 4 years is a pretty long time to own a phone. And if you get to that point and you're still using it, well, you know, maybe it's time to upgrade. Maybe I'm being unfair, actually. You know, people are holding on to phones for a long time. These aren't the moments in life where we should be telling people to spend a lot of money, Matt. So, you know, this is 2020. We want to be economically sound. So maybe my point is wrong. But I do wonder what we could do if iOS wasn't supported by as many phones.
I think we also always expect that people buy a phone on day one. Like, you could have gone out and bought an iPhone XS.
True.
Or an iPhone. You could even buy an iPhone 7 brand new today, probably. That sort of, like, you are still limiting yourself to probably 2 years of software updates by buying that phone at this time as well. So I think sometimes we end up expecting that people have bought a phone immediately, so they've got those 6 years. Actually, really, they've only had 2 years, but they've just bought a phone that's a little bit older.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, the iPhone, I think it's iPhone 8, is probably the latest new phone you can get. But as you pointed out, yeah, people are holding onto phones for 3 or 4 years now quite happily. And it's probably good that they're being supported a bit further. I'm having a bad day.
I think as well, like, just because iOS 15 won't come to those phones doesn't mean those phones turn into useless bricks, right? Like, you can still perfectly happily use them. And sure, you're not getting the latest, greatest features, and it will slowly degrade over time, I'm sure, and certain apps won't be available anymore. But it's still good for probably another couple of years at least, I would have thought. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see, especially now that Apple are kind of introducing more new hardware things like LiDAR scanners and MagSafe and stuff like that. Does that mean that the software needs to progress a lot quicker as well, and therefore people are going to get left behind a lot sooner? I don't know.
Maybe. I think it probably just comes down to the size of the software development teams thinking about it. You know, some of the smaller manufacturers just don't have that. You know, they can't roll out these upgrades to all the different phones as quickly, so they have to limit themselves. Apple's probably got fairly good resource, I'd imagine. So maybe this is all a moot point. Maybe everything is as good as it can be and everyone is being catered for as best they can. but I think what you're saying, Matt, is interesting. If, you know, if someone like Apple turned off automatic upgrades and installations and stuff, so you didn't keep getting pinged when there's something new, how many people would actually do it? You know, that's the thing.
Less than 10%.
Yeah. So I think most people would be quite quickly like, well, this phone's rubbish now because I haven't upgraded it since I bought it, because why would I? Sure, it's fine.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's got really hot for no reason. Oh, no. All the apps don't work. Right. We are nearly out of time. So, Cherie, I want to hear some final words from you. What are they?
You know, we are coming out the end of Black Friday. I'm hopeful that I will make it through the weekend. I have high hopes that I will do so with my sanity intact. Send food, send booze, preferably brown liquor, of the scotch or bourbon variety.
I want to just warn the listeners that next week's show is going to be just a like, if you're here because you enjoyed the Prime Day show, next week's show is going to be incredible. But if you skip past the Prime Day show because it was insane. Next week's going to be similar.
Yeah, and we're also prepping for the Christmas podcast as well, which we're quite excited about. So that's going to be good.
Exciting stuff indeed. Obviously, yeah, we're going to have podcasts coming out on Christmas Day and New Year's Day.
No one's going to listen to them.
I will.
You never know.
Day, maybe. You know, like I'm saying, like maybe the next day. But yeah. You know, Christmas time, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just imagining someone just going like, sorry, just going to step down from the table. I'm going to go listen to the Noise Cancelling Podcast alone.
No, people are going to listen to it.
Round the table.
Exactly, round the table while they're having dinner or while they're opening their presents in the morning.
Like, first of all, I think my voice is melodious and melodious enough to be accompanied by a crackling fire and some hot cocoa.
That's Matt Hansen. Matt Hansen is the one to do that. He's got the beautiful voice for just, you know, well done on getting those presents. He's got a lot. It's just really, it makes you feel happy. So maybe we should make sure that he does the Christmas message from Tech Radar this year.
should I edit out every time Sheree has sang the intro to Unpopular Opinions and just release it as like a Tech Radar Christmas album or Laptop Mag Christmas album?
Yeah.
I'll put some jingle bells in the background. It'll be great.
And then every alternate track can be Matt Hansen singing it as well. One off. That'd be great.
We should do the remix with where Chris Barraclough just did the metal version.
That was good stuff.
Yeah, we're just reminiscing about how good the podcast has been this year. Now,
go back and listen, everybody. Right, that is all the time that we have here on this the Noise Cancelling Podcast, which is all about tech. Apparently, Sheree, have you had a good time? How to get in contact with you? Are you all right?
I understand.
Siri's confused. Hey Siri.
I too am confused.
It heard me say Siri instead of Shiri. There you are. And it answered the question for you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Smith 11. That is M-I-S-S Smith 11. And of course, please go to Laptop Mag and check out the Flamin' Hot Black Friday deals that will go through to the weekend and Cyber Monday. And as always, laptop before, laptop now, laptop forever!
James, how about you?
I'm at JamesRWP on Twitter, and come to Tech Radar for all the Black Friday deals, because that's what we're going to be doing for this entire weekend.
Can you try and rival Sheree's energy there, please?
I just did.
Rival it.
I was literally just about to say, every time I come to the end of this podcast and I hear Sheree do her little battle cry, it always makes me think this is the exact difference between Americans and Brits. And then we're all here just like, just go to Tech Radar if you want or whatever. Follow me on the Twitter, if you want to, whatever you want.
Matt Phillips, how about you?
You can go to Tech Radar, follow me on all the socials at Matt P Video, and find Tech Radar's YouTube channel and watch all of the cool stuff going on there.
And I have been Gareth Beavis, Global Editor in Chief of Tech Radar. We've already mentioned that, and I'm just gonna say,
oh dear, what's happening?
Go Tech Radar!
Ran to the back of his room for that. That was incredible. I didn't want to get
too close to the mic.
I appreciate it.
Good energy.
Yep, thanks. Yep.
You broke Sheree, so that's...
Big energy. I should have yelled out the Twitter account as well. Like, it's at Tech Radar as well. So go back to the shout, add an app to that. There you go.
Will do.
Thank you very much, everybody. Oh, yeah, and if you wanted to tap me up for something... chat wise, Super Beavers me on Twitter as well. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Noise Cancelling. Matt, what episode is it?
Oh, I think it's 40.
I knew that. Episode 40 might not be. Thank you for listening if you've listened to all of them. If you haven't, go back and listen, subscribe. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars would be lovely. If we deserve it, of course. I keep saying that. No, I don't care if we deserve it. Just do it anyway. it's really helpful. We want to get up the charts. We do think that this is a fun podcast everyone should know about. Maybe you disagree and that's why you haven't reviewed. But come on, if you've listened to this more than once, 5 stars would be delicious, especially since Christmas coming up. Thank you very much to all the guests today, being Matt, James and Sheree. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.